Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome to hour number 2, Pirates Fest coverage from the VIP event tonight until 8 o'clock. We'll be chatting with Paul Skeens a little bit later on in this hour. We'll also be on the air tomorrow morning starting at 9 o'clock. A bunch of Pirates guests will join us, and then a Sunday coverage as well on Sister Station News Radio, KDKA. Thanks for being with us here wherever you might be listening. Andrew McCutchen is joining us, re-signing with the team, a formality, and it's very rare where you can kind of go to a coffee shop, get the back of a napkin, maybe just sort of informally shoot the breeze and do a deal in professional sports. But that's where the relationship is with Andrew McCutchen and the Pirates. Kutch, when you got your first hit off of what Pelfrey it was, right?
Yeah.
With the Mets in 2019. I know you wanted a long major league career. But did you ever think that you'd be going into your 17th year and still doing this thing at 38 years young?
No. I really didn't. Even now, like, it's, I've never put a number to it. I never put a number right on how long I wanted to play. I just wanted to be able to have a really good career, be able to be in a position to take care of my family. And I've been able to do those two things, and I hope the last thing is win a championship, you know, and it's something that I've always longed for and wanted. And, you know, maybe if I would have already had that championship a year, two, 3 years ago, maybe I ought to be home right now. Hmm. But there's still that hunger in there to want that. But there's also just hunger to just continue to challenge myself and push myself to be better. So, I never would have thought I'd be in this position. Here I am at 38 and, you know, I'm at the tail end of my career and, you know, still doing it.
So how do you – you know, everybody that we talk to, I'm going to ask Paul Skeens here, who's going into his second year, you know, what was on his checklist? How do you get better? How do I ask that to a guy going into his 17th year? Do you approach things in the off season with, like, hey, I need to be better at this, that, and the other thing? Because they say, hey, you're never not getting better. You never stop learning. Or, you know, at the stage in your career, is it trying to basically maintain some of the things that you do? I don't know what to ask you. I have no idea what that answer would be. So you can maybe shed some light on to how you approach your off seasons to either A, get better, and or B, maintain, you know, what it takes to be elite at this level day in and day out.
Yeah, so the thing that I've come to realize, and I'm sure guys who've been in the same position as me in the past, they probably feel somewhat the same way, is the game continues to evolve, you know, as you continue to play. You know, if 17 years ago when I was a rookie, the game is a lot different than it was then. So you evolve, and what I mean by that is, you know, velocity's way up.
Yep.
You know, you're seeing as a hitter, you know, its shifts are up, you know, the numbers that they have against you on defense, all these things that I'm having to adjust to this point in my career, you would think that the odds would really be against me, which they are. You know, so for me, there's still this fire in me that burns, that where I feel like I can be a better player than I was the year before that, and the year before that. So I continue to just go to the drawing boards and see how I can be better. When I did well, what I didn't do well at. Obviously, I'm not, you know, 2012 Andrew McCutchen. I'm not going to be a guy that is going to steal your 20 bags. And could I do it? Probably. But I'm probably also not going to be able to sustain a full season if I did that, you know, yeah, trying to steal bases. So I have to be honest with myself. But there's ways that I can improve. And I know that, and I feel that, and I feel like I can be better. So, you know, I'm not satisfied with the way my seasons have gone the last, you know, I will say probably since 2018, really, you know. Wow. So I feel like I can just be better than that. And it's just that fire to how can I do it and what can I do and improve on.
So dissatisfied, you're talking the better part of 6 years. How and why?
There was a point in my career early where I was, as a rookie, you learn, you have some things that you do well, you improve on them. And then I had a few years where I felt like I was really, really good. And then I kind of just went in an opposite direction as far as my performance. There are still obviously some things that I did really well, and there are some things that I didn't. And I feel like there was always something that I could do to improve on it. So it was constantly, is it A, is it B, what is it this? And then you go, well, it wasn't that. What was it? Is it this? Yeah. So you're constantly at the drawing board trying to figure out what is it that can propel me to be what I was, somewhat of a hybrid, obviously, but how can I better myself and be better than I've been the previous 6 years? And I feel like I've had moments, especially this last season, to where I finally told myself, I was like, man, that's it. That was that feel I was looking for that I haven't felt in a long
time. Give me an example of that.
Okay, for instance, right? I dealt with some injuries,
sure,
over the last couple of years.
Yeah, the legs are an issue,
yeah,
right? Like with anybody.
Right, and that happens. So there's times where I got to go, like, when I'm not feeling good, what can I do to be able to make that adjustment to still be able to compete on the field, mm-hmm, and not say, oh, man, my knee was banged up, so I had a bad game. So I had to learn how to do that. But at times when things clicked, for instance, say in L.A., right, when we were playing the Dodgers, I backside, Glasnow, right field homer, and then late in the game, I pull a homer to left field, right? And I go, man,
that's it.
That was obviously the result, but there was something that led to that result that got me in a place in my mind mentally where I was like, man, that felt really good. Now, can I maintain it, or can I continue to keep doing that? And I really told myself, I can keep doing it. I'm not hit homers every time, but there's an approach to it. And I felt like that was something that I could mimic and repeat over and over, and I haven't been able to do that in a very long time.
I mean, the iconic Andrew McCutchen highlight reels are going to show you right center field, right? I mm-hmm. think. You know what I mean? That's when you're at your best, when I've watched you just do your things, especially at PNC Park,
mm-hmm,
right center field.
Mm-hmm.
Is that when we know that, okay, he's on one right now?
Definitely. I'm not going to get too much into it.
It's just
radio, you know.
Yeah,
I'm not going to get
you.
But the balls are different than they were in the past. I'm certain that the balls are different than they were.
And how's that impact things for you?
It does impact in a way. Like, we talk about right center. We talk about that. You know, balls going to right center, hitting the ball well to right center. That continues to go out. It hit that jet stream in right center in PNC Park. There's not much of a jet stream like there used to be, you know. And sometimes you have to be honest with yourself. I have to tell myself, obviously, I'm not 25 years old anymore.
Right.
You know, the hands, the body, the way I move isn't the way that it is. But I also know when I hit a ball well, I know when it's going to go and it should go.
You got dad strength.
And there's so many times where I'm like, that's a homer, and the ball gets caught. So the balls are different in that aspect. Mm-hmm. At the same time, if I'm hitting a baseball very hard to right center, no matter what, if it gets caught at the warning track, or if I just miss it, that's where you know, like, I'm in a good spot.
Yeah. Year number 12 coming up with the Pirates. I was wondering, and listen, PNC Park is the best ballpark in America, but I do wonder, I mean, I'm sure you do as well, whether you admit it or not, gosh, if the fences were 5 to 10 feet in, or the notch wasn't there, I mean, where would those numbers be, man?
Yeah.
I mean, I'd love to do a study on that. Somebody knows the answer to that.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man. Park adjusted, right? You know, if you're in a different ballpark, if I'm in Cincinnati my whole career, I probably got you know, close to 400 homers, you know. So
that's wild.
It's crazy to think about. And I had to make adjustments to be able to know that left center, I'm probably not going to hit those homers. But right center, I have a better chance. So that was how I adjusted to the ballpark, you know. And then I get traded. I go to San Francisco to the biggest right center in baseball. They're in Detroit, I guess. And I had to relearn again, like, how I can't do that. So how do you make that adjustment? How do you go from juicing balls right center that are now going to be caught? Now I got to change the way I hit. I'm talking to Buster Posey. He's like, yeah, man, how do you do? How do you, what do you do, man? Like, he's like, oh, I just take my singles, you know? Like, and it's like, oh, okay, cool. So I have to learn. So then I go to Philly, and it's a bandbox, you know? So, you know, there's adjustments that people don't see, but it'd be something. I'm like, man, just move left center in, man. That's it. That's all I'm asking. We don't need that notch anymore, left center.
Man, Kutch is with us here at Pirate Fest, a VIP event. We're going to talk to Paul Skeens coming up in a little bit. I mean, you've been around for a while. I asked Blast here a little while ago, you know, from your era, Steve, who does he remind you of? And without even taking a heartbeat, Steve says Tom Seaver. So, wow. I mean, the guy's two CGs in a World Series. He knows a thing or two. Does he remind you of anybody? He's his own unicorn, having the front row seat that you did, Kutch, even from the dugout too, right? I mean, is the DH. That was some otherworldly stuff. And how much does he put wind behind your sails? Inside that clubhouse, you talk about being hungry for a championship. You're bullish on this team being able to take strides in 25. He is obviously the bell cow in being able to accomplish that. So can you kind of contextualize it for us? Mm-hmm. Paul Skeens, what he means to the Pirates.
I've been on a lot of teams. I've played a lot of good teams. You know, we were pretty good for a few years here when I was there. And, you know, we've had some good arms. You know, we've had a Gerrit Cole, you know, that came through the organization.
Sure.
You know, A.J. Burnett actually was really good for us when he was
all
here.
Good, man.
He was at the tail end of his career. He really found something and reinvented himself here. And we've never had a number one like that.
I mean,
and that's not against anyone that I've ever played with. Anyone that I've ever anybody I've played with that pitch. We've never had a number one quite like we have Paul.
Mm.
And for me, you know, you're on other teams, and you see those teams. Back when the Mets were really good, in 2015 and whatever, 13, 14, you know, you had DeGrom, right? Mm-hmm. You see a DeGrom, and you're like, that's a number one. You know,
yep.
And you go, that guy is somebody that when he's up there, you know, the game's – they're not going to score many runs on the other side. You know, so and you go to other places, and you see these arms, right? So, like, and then the fact is we have that now.
Welcome back, Pirate Fest. Sorry, just a little bit of a technical blip there. We're going to pick right up where we left off with Andrew McCutchen here on Paul Skeens before we were so rudely interrupted by the Gremlins there. You're talking about, you know, how he was essentially he's 1% of 1%. And Kutch, which makes him so wild to me, is that everything that you talked about and you threw some comparables out there, but then couple that with, he's like a military general.
Yeah.
like, legitimately.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Who does that with a legitimate military background and discipline, habits? You know, listening to him talk, hey, what separates you or why do you feel so confident? I think a lot of guys at his age with his stuff, being able to nick a gnat's ear with 101 on the corner, you would say, oh, my stuff. Yeah, like that I'm sure makes him feel confident. But he's confident in his work, the purposeful nature of how he goes about it.
Mm-hmm.
That to me is, that's Megatron kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's so tough to really put a word to it, but he's so regimented in what he does, and he's doing that at such a young age. It's really impressive to see because there are a lot of people who are and have been like him who have stuff, but they rely on their stuff to get outs or to get them the success that they're looking for, and eventually you run out of stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, if time passes, you know, unfortunate injuries happen, and you drop velo, people get used to you, you know, then your stuff is good, but it's not quite like it was in the past. The thing with Ball is he has a really good idea of what he wants to do, and he goes and he executes it, not necessarily just on the mound, but what he's doing in the gym, what he's doing prior, what he's putting in his body, so he's really good at doing all of those things now. So I don't see him ever really having to just own or think or really hone in on just primarily his stuff, because he's so good at everything else, and when he needs to use his stuff, he can. But he's not just going out there going, here's my 100 and I'm going to give it to you, and there it goes. And you know, it's impressive to see. It's fun to watch. I'm happy that I've been able to watch it for the time that I have.
Yeah, adding and subtracting and making adjustments, seeing teams second, third time, it's been wild.
Yeah.
So you're motivated. You're bullish on this team in 2025. You've gone on the record saying that, and you really haven't been bashful about it. Take me behind as to why you are so convicted that despite the record and the shortcomings and the disappointment, really, that especially the last half of last year was, why you're legitimately fired up for 25.
You know, I've started to learn that, you know, the older I get and the more that I play, there's things that set teams apart. And, you know, there's this, you know, thing that goes on where you feel like you always have to depend on the people around you or above you that to get you to where you need to go. If we're struggling as a team, you know, we're counting on, you know, the staff, or we're counting on someone to pick us all up to get us going again. And the thing that I've learned about this team and in myself, sometimes you just have to take precedence yourself. Sometimes you just have to stand up yourself and say, guys, we'll do this together. Or, guys, let's figure this out. Or, you know, just being able to lead, but lead in a way to where you're not always having to just wait and depend and wait on the person or anybody above you. Nothing against anyone. But doing it ourselves sometimes is, I think that is what can propel us to be a better team. And, you know, because at times, man, you know, the season's going on, you get comfortable, you relax, you start playing, then you go through a rough patch, and you're just continuing to do that. And sometimes all it takes is a Paul Skeens. Sometimes all it takes is someone out of the bullpen. All it takes is someone just to stand up and go, hey, guys, let's figure this out, man. And we've done that, but I don't think we have really told ourselves, like, we need to do that. We need to do that more. Mm. And I think for me is that's something that I'm going into this season being able to, one, tell myself that, but also be able to tell everyone else that, hey, man, let's help each other. Let's figure this out together and speak up when you need to speak up, you know. And
so you're going
to
take the clubhouse. Is that a goal of yours, essentially?
In a sense, yeah.
Because that's not your thing, man.
No, it's not.
But
no,
you feel called to do that.
Yeah, I feel called to do that because I feel like that's what we need. But at the same time, not just coming from me.
Right.
It's coming from everyone in that clubhouse.
You're going
to
develop leaders.
Right. And we develop it together as a team and as a whole. And, you know, just, guys, you know, let's figure it out together, dude. I don't care if you got 2 days in big leagues. If you feel like you got something to say, you need to get it. Say it. You know, and then we're going to all do it together and figure it out together. And I think if we can do that more, obviously with having, you know, the staff, the coaching staff, everyone else, like, who also going to facilitate with that, but that being an importance in this group, I think we'll be okay. We'll be good.
Well, and that's encouraging to hear, because I think, frankly, and everybody would agree, that's what this team has lacked. And you can, obviously, with your back of your baseball card, man, you could be that guy, even though that's uncomfortable for you, right? Because
yeah,
that's just not who you are. So it sounds like you're making a big commitment here to step forward and hey, follow me, guys.
Yeah.
With the help of others,
right,
of course.
You know, because for me, I mean, look, dude, my time's running out. I'm not going to be here much longer.
Yeah.
And it'd be one thing if I felt like the team just wasn't good, you know. Then I'd just throw my feet up and just ride retirement out into the sunset. But I do feel like it's a special group of people and a group of guys here who can do a lot of good things, and I don't want to waste that. And that, because that's wasting my time too, you know. And you know, I'm sacrificing a lot from me and my family being away from them, and I could easily just go home and just be with my family.
That's good,
you know. But I do feel like we're a good enough team to where we can compete. So I'm done with just sitting around and just letting it happen, man. I want to make something happen, and I'm gonna do what I can in this clubhouse. And if that means speaking up more, then I will do that, because the team's too good for us to go through the rough patches that we have in the past.
Man, I'm ready to run through a wall. Thanks, man.
Yeah, thank you.
Good stuff. Andrew McCutcheon with us here at Pirate Fest. Coming up, we're going to talk to Paul Schemes. Kutch, we'll talk to you down the road, man. Thanks again for the time.
Appreciate it.
That's Andrew McCutcheon. Do stay with us. Pirate Fest here at the David L. Lawrence Convention Center. Back in a moment on The Fan.